This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Target Stores gives up on Canada.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The giant retailer Target of Minneapolis said today it's closing down operations in Canada and has filed for bankruptcy protection to cover its north-of-the-border operations. Marketplace's Adam Allington has the latest on a move that could put more than 17,000 Canadians out of work. Adam?
Target has really struggled since its launch in Canada just a few years ago in 2013. The company said last November that it would review the future of its Canadian business after the holiday season. Huge supply chain problems left stores thinly stocked, disappointing shoppers who had anticipated Target's move into Canada, where the discount retail space has been dominated by Walmart. Target currently has 133 stores and employs over 17,000 workers in Canada. According to a Target press release, if a court approves it, the company will create a trust of $59 million, which would give Canadian employees a minimum of 16 weeks' compensation. The company says stores will remain open during liquidation. In the U.S., Target is actually performing better than expected. The company said today, same-store sales in the U.S. have increased by 3% this quarter, thanks to more online purchases and store visits than expected.
That's Adam Allington. Target stock is up 2.2% now. Also in the last hour, the U.S. government released details of how it's relaxing trade sanctions on Cuba. There are now 12 categories of U.S. travelers who will not need a license to go to Cuba, including family visits and education. U.S. telecom companies can set up internet. U.S. banks will be able to process cash remittances from people trying to send money. The changes are effective tomorrow. This is a developing story, and there's more on the way as details are available. Another major cross-border story today. Switzerland's currency surged 17% today, causing headaches for all sorts of Swiss exporters, from wristwatches to cuckoo clocks. This after the Swiss central bank, without warning, gave up on trying to keep the euro linked closer to its Swiss franc. For more, we turn to the chief international economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago, Adolfo Laurenti.
The Swiss franc is sort of a reserve currency in Europe. And with all these uncertainty surrounding the future of the euro and what the ECB will do, clearly there have been a lot of pressure for an appreciation of the franc. On the flip side, Switzerland is also a major exporter, not just chocolate and watches, but pharmaceuticals. And so the central bank tried to put a cap on this appreciation, and then they changed mind today, and we are seeing the consequences.
Yeah, it costs a lot of money to keep defending that floor for the euro. But it's interesting to me, Adolfo, the Swiss franc is used as a benchmark in many places throughout Europe.
Especially in Central and Eastern Europe, for instance, there is a major problem with mortgages in Poland nowadays because of this move. They thought the mortgages would have been capped, and all of a sudden it's becoming 15-20% more expensive to repay them.
Wait a minute. So in, say, Poland, there are some unfortunate people today who have home mortgages that are tied to the Swiss franc?
Correct. And it's not just Poland. It's my understanding that may be the case also in Romania and Bulgaria. So this is really a regional situation. It's not just Switzerland.
Adolfo Laurenti, chief international economist at Mesirow Financial. Thank you.
Thank you.
The big car and truck show going on in Detroit. The top honor in the car category went to Volkswagen's Golf, which comes in all sorts of flavors, from electric to diesel to muscle. But don't let that small car fool you. VW seems to want its brand to be known in America more for big, not small, as it tries to live up to its bold promises to be number one. Jamie Kippen is a columnist for Automobile Magazine and joins us from Detroit. Good morning, Jamie.
Hi, David.
So what's this? Volkswagen wants to be the biggest seller of cars globally, really?
That's true. In fact, they announced that a few years back, and everything was going swimmingly. But then sales in the United States sort of flattened out and then have been falling the last 2 years. So in their initial projection, they were imagining they had to sell 800,000 cars a year in the United States. As of now, they're at about 400,000, so they have a long way to go in a very short amount of time.
Well, I saw the sales figures for 2014, and Subaru sells way more cars in America than venerable Volkswagen. What are they doing wrong?
As far as they're concerned, what they're doing wrong is they don't have enough SUVs, and so they're planning to introduce at least three new ones in the next 3 years. They showed something here called the Cross Coupe GTE concept, which is, well, I hate to say it, but it looks surprisingly like a Jeep Grand Cherokee. As a Volkswagen loyalist, it's a little depressing, since that's kind of the opposite of what they always stood for. They would argue that that's too small a part of their market to be concerned about.
But actually, that brand issue, what you think about when you think VW, is a big issue.
It's definitely uncharted territory for them, and I think they're trying to be more like an American company. And one indication of that is they announced here at the show that they're going to be changing models every 5 years instead of the previous seven, which itself was instead of, you know, the previous 37 for the Volkswagen Beetle, which is what made the reputation. And it says something, I think, about the character of the German industrialist psyche, that they felt it necessary at all to make predictions about when they were going to be number one and how many cars they would sell. But Volkswagen really doubled down here on that.
Speaking to us from the International Auto Show in Detroit, Automobile Magazine's Jamie Kittman. He also blogs for the Car Talk website. Jamie, thank you.
Thanks, David.
Also, some see the new Chevrolet Bolt 200-mile-per-charge electric concept car unveiled in Detroit as a possible step toward hydrogen power. Kittman explains why, and if you missed it on the air, it's at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.